Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, wellness, and life. Brought to you by Global Schoolwear, stylish school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, LER Magazine, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader today, a little bit of legality. And addiction in sports medicine. Mark Astor, he's a partner at Astor Simovich Mental and Addiction Law, will be joining me, along with returning one of our faves, Dr. Tony Liazzo, general practitioner, sports medicine specialist, medical executive, longtime guest. Then the sports doctor's in with some upcoming guest info, some emails. Mark Astor, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be with you guys. Chicago, my home away from home.
Oh, great. Yes, I've been here 50 years, but I still practice my New York accent once a week, Mark, that I got to stick with it. We'll give a quick shout-out to our friend Olivia Atkins with her Achieving Success podcast. She put us together. Mark, give us some background on yourself, your law firm, and this specialty in the world of addiction and mental health.
Yeah, so we're coming up on our 10th anniversary. So February of 2016, I sat down in the local library here to start a law firm. The good thing about the library is they had free Wi-Fi and relatively cheap, decent coffee. Because at the time, I had no money. I was pretty much broke. But I had a mission, and that mission is the same as it is today, which is to save families whose loved ones are suffering from substance use, mental health disorders, and failed attempts at recovery. So the Simovich and Astor Simovich is my wife, and I met her the second year that I had the practice, which is 2017, by which time I had just enough money to pay for an office. And so really for the next 7 years, it was just the two of us, and the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years now, we've been very blessed to hire some staff, which means we're helping a whole lot more people.
Yeah, where's your accent from, Mark? Where's that accent from?
Well, people ask me if I'm from New England. I tell them, no, I'm from Old England, and I'm originally from the United Kingdom.
Good. Next week you'll be on with our friends at UK Health Radio. We've been with them 7-8 years. They're fantastic. You know, whether we're dealing with the alcohol world and sports, which has always been one of the number one addictions in so many ways, or we're dealing with the pain pill world, for decades we've talked on the sports about chronic pain and the use and sometimes misuse of pain medicines. So the world of addiction, let alone legal drugs, is such a tremendous challenge. And it's great that you mix in, again, absolutely the importance of mental health, because in so many instances, the mental health is in the middle of all of it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, when we first opened our doors in 16, we really dealt with, you know, individuals who were abusing alcohol and recreational drugs. Then COVID came along, and we also legalized marijuana down here in Florida, as we did in, you know, many states. and that caused a big shift in our cases. So we went from those recreational drugs to cases that were driven by primarily mental illness. And you throw in a little legalized marijuana, and you have a very challenging situation, both from a legal perspective and a clinical perspective. But I'll tell you, you know, I'm so glad that you're bringing light to this, because we've put a number of athletes in treatment, and I think there's sort of this misnomer that because athletes live in this, you know, different universe to the rest of us, they make, you know, tons of money playing a sport, that they're immune from some of these things, and they're simply not.
Well, we've had a couple of very, you know, last week I had on one of my longtime guests, Robert Andrews, the head of mental training at the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston. He's got a wall of gold medals with the Simone Biles and the women's gymnastics. But the attention that Simone Biles, this past Olympics, Michael Phelps, both of them gave to their own mental challenges and concerns was a big leap forward in what has always been a difficult situation where, you know, the world of psychology and the mental health situation is under such duress. And if you add in the pandemic as well as social media, then we have tremendous pressures in so many ways. And I've had experts on, Mark, from around the world in the world of concussion and brain health. This is why we're very excited about the hyperbaric oxygen effect down in your neck of the woods, down there with wounded warriors.
Yes,
that has done a lot of work. Longtime guest on my show, Hillary Loftus, who was the education director for years and has been paying big attention again to the concussion side, the sports side, the adolescent side. But I guess the alcohol situation, in so many ways, it's such a huge area. And sports, you would say, you know, good luck to you.
Yeah, and I think in some arenas, you know, the use of alcohol is almost part of the culture of that particular sport. I know, from what I understand, and my stepson played college hockey for 3 years, so I'm a little bit of understanding of that world. I mean, especially in professional hockey, I mean, alcohol use seems to be pretty prominent. And I think, you know, was not.
Mark, where did you play? Where did you play hockey, Mark?
Well, my stepson played 3 years of hockey at Suffolk, and he was also the Team USA's number one goalie at the Maccabee Games 2 years ago, and they won their first ever gold.
You know, the Blackhawks. So, I've been putting orthotics in skates for 40 years. Really, one of my faves in so many different ways. And that's a contact sport. And that hockey's gotten a lot of attention in the concussion world, as well as, of course, football in so many different ways. Have you found that the medical world and the psychology world, the psychiatry world, I've had them all on. I had a Taoist on the show 2 months ago from the Netherlands, Mark, talking about 2,500-year-old concepts that made as much sense today. Again, in the mental health world, and they were talking pain pills and opioid addiction.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the whole pain pill and opioid situation was very, very prominent in you know professional football. But I think to your point, I mean, we're certainly getting a much deeper and better understanding of the trauma that's involved if you play a contact sport. I mean, our brains are not designed to be smashed against the inside of our skulls. I mean, we're just not built for that. And I think we're getting a much better understanding of that. Where I come in is giving a family the authority, the ability to get somebody into treatment so that they can address whatever issues they're dealing with. And I think especially when it comes to football and hockey and mixed martial arts, we're dealing with a very machismo type of culture where, you know, I'm fine, I can deal with this. Well, if you've been knocked out 4 or 5 times to the point you were unconscious, you may not even be able to make the decision or even understand that you need help.
I know you pay big attention to the holistic side. What's the best website people could find out about you and your work, Mark?
So mentalhealthaddictionlawfirm.com. That's mentalhealthaddictionlawfirm.com.
Now, again, you know, the idea and the cooperation of so many of these different entities that come together many times, again, whether it's a sport, a team, and the coach, and a family, or whether it happens to be a situation, again, of chronic pain management, or it happens to be, again, in the ability of the law to pay attention to this and the kinds of challenges, I would imagine. How is the cooperation of the medical field, the insurance world, and the, for example, again, the attorneys? I always felt there was a contest 20, 30 years ago. There was the doctors, the insurance companies, and the lawyers, and it seems like the insurance companies won in many respects. What do you think?
Well, I think we've become a whole lot more switched on to the fact that when somebody is sick, and this is a disease, it's not a conscious choice. Right, it's as if their brain's been kidnapped, and so we have to make the decision that they can't make to save themselves. Listen, here in South Florida, especially, our judges, our legal system is really switched onto this stuff. This is one of the reasons why it's a great place to come for treatment. I mean, we have great judges. Even the lawyers that get appointed to represent these people, they understand what they're dealing with, and so we've done a great job with that. As far as
do you refer to psychology, psychiatry, psychotherapy, any or all of the above regarding what your clients might be dealing with on that side where you have referrals?
You know, we do, but the time folks come to us and a family reaches out to us, we're typically the last port of call. I mean,
right.
Nobody wants to take an adversarial position against their loved one. So we're putting somebody typically in a residential setting, and that will typically also involve making sure they're med compliant. And then, yeah. You know, 6 months from then, you know, from starting treatment, then we could talk about some type of outpatient care with a great therapist. But it all starts with making that
commitment to decide to save them. You know, people, you're dealing with distraught individuals in so many areas, to say the least. You know, this is why many times I have facetiously, I ask you how your sports psychology skills are. But you're dealing with parents, with families, with interactions, with organizations, lots of stress in so many different areas. And I think that that's got to be something that can, you know, really take its toll on everybody.
You have to have a real passion for helping people in the world we do. You know, our clients are very emotional. They're stressed out. And we understand that, which is why I built a whole team around taking care of these families. Because it is a family disease. It destroys the family.
And, you know, it's interesting when you mentioned hockey, we talked about football, we talked about the sports, the contact sports. And now you have hockey players who are 6'6", 240. You have shortstops who are 6'6". You have much faster, much stronger, bigger, stronger athletes in so many ways. And the forces, again, are just gigantic. And this is, again, why it's so important for people to understand that there's a legal side to this situation. And I guess it's getting more and more attention, and that's before we even bring in politics, right, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, look, Aaron Hernandez is a classic example. I mean, there were red flags probably from when he was in college, but nobody addressed it because he was, you know, catching touchdown passes, so who cared? But that's a situation that potentially could have been avoided if there had been some intervention.
I've had psychologists on the show, Don Brady, as a matter of fact, worked in the high school world, talked about the problems they were seeing very, very early. So did with Hillary Loftus, again, talking about when they were searching for not only a dentist. You know, years ago, if somebody got a head ding or something in the sport, they'd say, how many fingers go back in the game? Now there's all sorts of protocols. Knock on wood, and it's still very iffy, you know, when someone can come back from a concussion or those kinds of points, let alone what their legal capabilities, again, must be. So I would imagine that, you know, it's really a mixture in so many ways, and I know, on the sports doctor, I call all of this stuff, Mark, the mental game. Again, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their psychiatrist, whether you're the teammate, the parent, or the athlete or the individual themselves, the important education, the fact that there is a legal side in so many ways is becoming more and more important. I would imagine that the school systems and communities, organizations interact with you when necessary.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm a resource for everybody here in the community. And what I mean by that is, I mean, I have a lot of information, a lot of things that we can give people access to. They don't necessarily have to pay me for it. I mean, that's one of the things that that's been important to us, is to give back to the community. So if you just need a referral to a clinician, call my office. I'll give it to you. I mean, you don't have to pay me for it. I'm here to serve, first and foremost.
Well, again, you know, we have a roster, probably over 1,000 guests over the years, of so many talented individuals in an umbrella array of specialties and situations, and many, many give back in so many different ways, which is always a great thing to see, because many times, again, whether we're talking about childhood obesity, whether we're talking very aggressively about type 2 diabetes and the explosion of diabetes in our country, most experts roll their eyes and say, boy, oh boy, at best, we're treading water. This is why we want to continue the education and the awareness of a lot of these different challenges, and understand that there's a legal side in so many different ways. And that I congratulate you for making that availability. What's the website people can go to again?
Yeah, so it's mentalhealthaddictionlawfirm.com. Mentalhealthaddictionlawfirm.com.
And I would imagine the age groups that you deal with in so many ways are like endless when you're talking children involved in this whole situation, single families, divorced parents. That's got to really be a mixture. I'm sure you're dealing with your share of kids.
Yeah, we do get some children. I'll tell you what we see a lot of. We see a lot of children who at an early age were prescribed some type of medication for some type of behavioral health issue that 25 years ago we would have laughed at, right? And then what I mean, you give a kid speed at 7 or 8, what do you think is going to happen to them? I mean, by the time they're 15, their brains can't function without.
I'll tell you, Mark, I knew the time would fly by with you, and that's a great topic for the next time when we have you come back. I want to thank you so much. Give us quickly again the site, Mark.
Yep, mentalhealthaddictionlawfirm.com.
Great. Mark, hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor.
The station that makes you feel good.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we're staying local. We're back in Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports psychiatrist. We want to welcome back one of our faves, Dr. Tony Riazzo, a general practitioner, sports medicine specialist, medical executive. He's worked with from Olympians to the kids. Tony, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be back.
Yes, give us some background quickly. With your involvement in the world of sports, with your involvement in the world of kids. I mean, your 7-year-old son, who was a hockey player, we had orthotics in his skates, is a college graduate, isn't he?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, a lot changed since we talked last. And you're right, both my boys, orthotics, multiple sport athletes, hockey, football, soccer sometimes, golf now, you know, you name it, they're doing it. But my young guy that used to play hockey, he graduated from Indiana University. Now he's in law school at Drake in Des Moines, and my younger guy, Michael, who's playing football, is at Illinois State. So they grow up so fast.
Isn't that amazing? You know, when you think about it, and we go back again that long, and your attention, of course, to the world of youth sports, that's what really, really got us together. Whether it was, again, with your own two sons, as well as you. And the idea, right, again, that you've been in the world of soccer. Talk a little bit about some of your background in the sports medicine genre.
Right. I've been involved in sports at all levels, like you had mentioned, everything from, you know, the little peewee guys that you coach as a parent, all the way up to some work with the U.S. soccer team. You know, primarily in the world of soccer, but also a little bit with rugby. So have seen lots of injuries, local and all the way overseas when I was traveling with the Olympic teams. A lot of college athletes, football, you know, College of DuPage, and numerous, numerous high schools. You know, we worked together on a lot of different high school athletes together over the years. And
you know,
what's
interesting, Tony, again, is the mental side. You know, I call it the mental game on the sports doctor all these years, whether I'm talking to psychologists or psychiatrists. Last week, Robert Andrews, you remember the gold medal personal mental trainer, Institute of Human Performance in Houston, his work with Simone Biles, and the mental side of the pressure. The more talented your kid is, the more the pressure mentally and physically. You know, so you as the GP, whether you're dealing with a parent, a coach, the kid themselves, that's why every time I would have you on, I would always ask you how your sports psychology skills were, Tony.
Yeah, it's always a challenge. You know, that's the big thing, you know, because a lot of the parents want to relive their youth through their kids. And they forget that their kids, while they're athletes, are not the same athlete that the parent was. And that the world of sports, as you and I have talked many times about it, has changed so greatly. You know, it went from, hey, football season was from August to, you know, December, if you were lucky. And then you had a break and you went into basketball. And then you rolled into baseball, but no more. This is year-round. If you're not on a travel team or with your personal trainer or personal coach, and then into your actual league with high school or whatnot, you're falling behind. So the overuse injuries are off the scale. The pressures that these kids are putting on themselves that are then sometimes coupled by their parents driving them. It's amazing the amount of pressure that's out there for these kids.
Yes, and this is one of the biggest reasons we see over-the-counter pain pills, anti-inflammatories, up the kazoo with these kids. Dr. Right. Weil, don't you understand? If my daughter doesn't take two Advil twice a day, her shin splints are killing her in volleyball, et cetera, et cetera. Now, again, even though you and I and everybody we know has always said, you mentioned it at the beginning of this show, your kids played a lot of different sports, and everybody recommends that, and that's what we want to see. Yeah, 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 and that's great, unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater or now even soccer, tennis, swimming, where we see specialization very, very early, and I've written about it, called the prodigy sports, which is we have to listen and take these kids seriously. Once we make them understand that, of course, we would want you to play a lot of different sports, and I know that, you know, you've seen that a lot yourself, where, again, we might have, you know, Evan Lysacek, the Illinois kid. I can't believe we just celebrated the 15th year since he was the Olympic gold medal figure skating champion. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skate. You remember?
Right.
I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old. So the specialization situation, you've dealt with it a lot in the world of soccer. You know, Tony, don't you understand, doctor, my daughter, that's all she wants to play year-round. This is where we run into some of this overuse stuff. And that's how are we doing with that, do you believe? Is it still good luck to us? It is.
It's still kind of, yeah, I mean, it's still good luck to us. And where I'm seeing it expanding now, too, is, you know, every year these kids need pre-sports physicals, right? They got to be cleared to be able to participate. And, you know, as these kids get older, and I hate to say it, their bodies get a little bit more beat up and, you know, some aches and pains start coming out, some other things start developing, you know, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the physicians to just clear these kids. Instead of taking a step back and saying, you know, what's the best thing for these children?
The
I've had many arguments with parents
over
it.
you know, I've had on the show numerous times, as you know, whether it's the team doctor, the Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad, locally, the great Brian Cole, the team doctor of the Bulls and White Sox, so asking them what the pressure's got to be like. You know, where, don't you understand? We're paying the guy $10 million a week. He's got to be ready to go. And these kinds of pressures, right. All of a sudden we turned around. We were in an opioid crisis up the kazoo, which is still so dramatic. So I think, again, the educational side, and then you get to get into that political side again with, you know, Dr. Liazzo, my daughter's on a traveling team, and blah, blah, this kind of pressure, and, you know, we're going for a scholarship and these kinds of things. I could see why, again, you'd be in the middle of a lot of that, and where you really, really want to stress the safety of the kid. We do make, hey, listen, if it's the Olympics in 2 weeks, we make compromises. We all do in sports medicine, but then again, and like it's true, right? The more talented the kid, the greater the pressure mentally and physically.
Oh, absolutely, and you know it takes a lot of gumption to say no, you know, because at the end of the day, you're the objective buffer that's going to keep these kids safe. And you know, I have not met one child under the age of 14 that 2 weeks out of a sport ends their career. But 2 weeks out of a sport could save their career at the same time. And we're talking a career of a kid that's 14 years old, right? But to try and cultivate that mindset, because, you know, as physicians, you and I know that we're paid to foresee what's going to happen in the future because we've seen the progression. And if we don't intervene at certain places, we know where these injuries are going to go. We're going to know the permanency of things that are happening. And, you know, these kids may have a great career if they're one in a million that make it to the MLB or to the NFL or whatever. But then at 30, they can't move because we did them no favors and pushed them so hard that their joints are worn out or, you know, you name the injury. And then they're done by the time they're 30. And now what do you do for the next 60 years?
And you've watched, Dr. Liazzo, the whole evolution of the concussion concerns, from the outright lying about the NFL and all these major groups, we don't say, you know, and all of this other baloney, to the tremendous advances that have been made in identification and sideline protocols and all these things. You've watched the development of all of this, and this is still a tremendous challenge, isn't it?
It definitely is. And, you know, while I hate to say it, you know, the bad press that the NFL got, it's still was good press, right? It put the idea that these things can happen out there.
And, I'm glad you brought that up. I agree with you because they have, and they talk about it all the time. Now, we know, again, safety, 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 but we also know there ain't no safe tackle football. There just ain't.
No.
So this was the dichotomy they had, but I'm glad you brought that up because there was a lot of revelations that came about because of their whole situation. And we won't even talk about the youth football or the 10-year-olds.
Right. And, you know, a lot of it goes back to coaching. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you want to have a safe football player, make them play rugby first. You know, they're going to learn how to tackle. They're going to learn how to keep themselves out of trouble because you've got no
padding. That's an interesting point, Dr. L. That really, really is. We know, you know, rugby, again, which is just like unbelievable, the physical contact, yet exactly without equipment, there are definitely some different perceptions in how it's done. I think that's a terrific idea for the youth, let alone the tremendous popularity of flag football, which has allowed girls who always wanted to play football, they could play flag football, and so we can still see the tremendous athleticism. But now you've got these kids are 325 pounds, they run super speed, and they could do bench press 500 pounds. Look at the size of these athletes that you're seeing at all levels. You have 6'8" shortstops and hockey players. You know, Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays were like 5'11", 180, right?
Right.
Jeez.
Well, and I chuckle because remember back in 85 with William Perry, you know, he was over 300 pounds, and everybody was all up in arms that he was out there playing football, had a vertical leap. You know, he could jump up onto a table, no problem. And now you look at the linemen for the NFL. If you're under 300 pounds, you can't compete. So, you know, a lot has changed in a very, very short period of time. And what frightens me about the whole flag football thing is I think it's a great idea, but we still have all these kids that are coming up through travel, right? So if your kid doesn't play travel as a youth and then gets into high school and has never played anything but flag football, now you're putting these monster kids that are, you know, very athletic, very strong, very built, up against someone that's only ever played flag football. I think we're going to see the injury rates go up, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm not surprised in that situation. Tony, do you have a website or whatever that you're doing? I know you're getting involved in the executive area where people could find right. about you. Your practice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm with Morris Hospital now. I'm the chief medical officer here. We have, you know, a great orthopedics department. We've got a lot of sports medicine, a lot of primary care sports medicine. We're involved with programs at the YMCA out here. So for kids, you know, we always talk about childhood obesity and everything. We've got weight loss programs.
What's the website?
Family integrated program.
What's the site?
It's morrishospital.org.
Okay. And again, you know, it's interesting, the world of nutrition. I've had on now lately the new area, sports pharmacy. Jessica Beal, when I had her on a year or two ago, no one knew how to spell sports pharmacy. Sports cardiology, tremendous attention, RDK nutrition. So the days of not this tremendous attention, that's what I want to talk more about, that whole area of exercise and the challenges of type 2 diabetes. We're talking with Dr. Tony Liazzo. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. I'm talking with one of our fave longtime guests, Dr. Tony Liazzo, general practitioner, sports medicine specialist. What are you doing with the hospital now? Are you the, what's your new position, Tony?
I am the chief medical officer over at Morris Hospital now. So
okay, now that you're in the world of administration, how's that going?
It's going great. It actually gives me much more flexibility to interact with the docs to, you know, help support them and give them the tools that they need to practice smarter, not harder. And, you know, actually in my world now, I feel like I'm touching more lives by helping my fellow doctors practice better.
It's interesting. You know, we've had psychologists and all sorts of experts on talking about the challenges of burnout in the medical world. We've had experts in the AI world talking about what could be done to make a difference in all this chart keeping and let alone insurance companies and all of these things. And again, lately, you know, the LEAP Alliance, Lower Extremity Amputation Prevention, founded almost 15 years ago by my old podiatry school professor, Dr. Larry Rubin, the fact of the thousands of amputations, diabetes-related, starting with foot ulcers, these kinds of concerns. Dr. Rubin trying to put together teams of podiatrists and vascular people and general practitioners and asking me to pay big attention on the other end, which is the explosion. You know, we had to rename adult-onset diabetes to include all these kids, the explosion of all these teenagers. And as the helpful additive in the area of the importance of exercise and nutrition in this dealing with all these pre-diabetics in this type of situation, I'm sure is of tremendous interest in all of these different communities and school systems. There's so much diabetes, Dr. Liazzo.
Yeah, it really has become, basically an epidemic at this point. When I was starting out 20 years ago, we really didn't talk about it too much. Oh, you know what? You had the child that was a little bit overweight. He'll grow out of it type of thing, or she'll grow out of it. And most of the time they did. But the kids were much more active back then. You know, a lot of the pediatricians that we have here are very focused on exercise and very focused on driving these kids away from their devices. You know, don't sit there and play on your PlayStation or your Xbox or whatever for 4 hours a day after you've been sitting in class all day. You know, get out, move around, do different things. Yes.
Well, in 2008, I wrote an article called Let's Get Them Walking for school mm-hmm. systems, and it was really was about having a inclusion of walking as part of any level of school, whether it was elementary, et cetera. As you know, I've talked about childhood obesity on the Sports Doctor for 20, 30 years, going back to Rick Osborne and his pull your own weight concept, that if somebody could do an unassisted pull-up, they couldn't be obese. It was remarkable, even though it was so far ahead of its
right.
time. By the time a kid gets into junior high school, maybe it's one out of 20 or 30 that's on a team. So the sports are, you know, limited. So the idea, right. which was to get walking included part of the curriculum, or getting, again, this attention with nutrition, as well as, again, and I'm looking at the hospitals to help lead the way when it comes to, like Dr. Rubin would like to see, these foot screenings where maybe attention could be paid to try to grab, you know, podiatry has always been one of the professions that would see diabetes before they knew they were diabetic because of the foot.
Right.
Well, my foot's numb, my foot hurts, or the eye doctor who was seeing eye changes. So both specialties need to get involved in paying more attention, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, even the family doctors, the pediatricians now, you know, there's subtle signs of, you know, not even diabetes, but just, you know, impaired fasting glucose, you know, the pre-diabetes types of places. You know, and you had mentioned that, you know, the hospitals and the communities getting involved, and we take it really serious. We teamed up with the YMCA, and we just
Excellent.
Recently partnered to open
That's
one here.
That's a great partnership, yes.
Yeah.
The famous, great YMCA, the late, great Bob Guida came out of that world, my colleague for 40 years in sports medicine in so many different ways. These kinds, again, of communities, park districts. My friends at the NAES, the National Alliance of Youth Sports, they celebrated their 40th anniversary. They work with the military. They work with park mm-hmm. districts. Again, educating coaches about all these things, whether it's kids still having fun. Hey, remember? They're supposed to be having
right.
fun. Or the fitness
exactly.
side, right? And or
right.
this lifestyle changes. I guess the inclusion of the so-called, quote-unquote, functional medicine, as we're trying to get off, because you can't watch TV for more than 5 minutes. You know, only the United States and New Zealand allow prescription drugs to be on television. And if it's not a prescription drug, it's a diet commercial. So it's a tough environment in a lot of ways, isn't it?
Oh, the direct-to-consumer advertising in our country, you know, is amazing. And, you know, thank goodness, if you've noticed on the commercials lately, at the very end, you know, they would always speed read through all the complications. Well, they passed a law that said, no, you can't do that anymore. So now everybody's starting to hear the potential side effects of these meds and everything. I mean, it's not stopping these patients from coming into the office asking for these drugs.
But it's also nauseating. I would like to see a commercial say, there are side effects to this medicine. Please discuss it with your doctor. Don't give me a list of 19 things over 2 minutes. In so many different ways, you know, but that the situation is such a big industry. And again, this is when we're talking again about one of our super specialties, the whole world of youth sports. You know, when I started working on the documentary, you've met him, Joe Franco, mm-hmm. documentary coming out one of these years called Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports. When he first talked to me about it 5, 6, 7 years ago, he said, you know, youth sports is a $15 billion industry, you know. And when I had him on last month, he said, you know, sports is a $50 billion a year industry. So there's so much pressure. That's before we talk about these college players being paid. Right, Dr. Tony?
Right. Oh, that's totally, I mean, we could talk about that for 2 hours.
It's going to be, well, we're going to see, you know, again, some of these challenges. Can the rules keep up with some of these different challenges, whether it's, again, the year-round activity of some of these kids? I like to talk a lot, I know you always have, about the importance of rest and relaxation. Talk about that for a minute or so.
Right. Everybody needs their downtime. You know, you alluded to it earlier with just, you know, how do we manage an administration physician burnout and things like that. And the problem is there's not enough downtime. There's not enough time to just get away even from, you know, your job. You know, I hate to say get away from your family, but a lot of times you just need the you time, right? I need the me time. And allowing that to permeate instead of the go, 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 whether it's from one activity to the next, to the sports,
yes,
to the training, to
well,
whatever.
We talk with big meditation fans here. We're big fans of even if it's the walking meditation. I knew the time would fly with Dr.
Yeah.
Tony. Tony, give us again quickly that site people could find out about everything going on at the Morris Hospital.
Yeah, it's Morris Hospital, M-O-R-R-I-S, hospital.org.
MorrisHospital.org, Tony Liazzo, longtime fave guest in the world of sports medicine. I want to thank you so much, Tony. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody, with the Sports Doctors In segment. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. Not that I don't love my guests, but this is one of my faves. We preview some upcoming guests and topics. We add a little Dr. Bob wisdom, maybe get an email or two. Spencer Senn, with his magic mindset, this whole, again, mental game, his podcast. Matter of fact, I'm going to be spending time with him at the end of the month. He'll be joining us next week. And then again, one of my teammates, the National Fitness Hall of Fame, one of their Lifetime Achievement Award winners, one of our supporters, Bill Crawford, and the basic training, MedX. And we really want to touch base with Bill, talk about Nautilus, some of the memories of Nautilus. He was one of the original individuals involved with Nautilus, as was Bob Guida. My long time, late, great Bob Guida in the late 70s with Sports Fitness Institute. So we want to walk down memory lane with some of Nautilus MedX. Following week, Tony DiGrazio. Tony is on the board of advisors of the Leap Alliance, somebody who's fought diabetes himself, is still fighting it, is involved in some of the educational side of things. So we'll be interested in his point of view. Another one of our faves, Joel Franco. I'm hoping he joins us in a couple of weeks. Again, Joel, one of the founders, co-founders of Chesapeake Films, a sports dad, to say the least. And again, his upcoming documentary, all this great work he's doing with Where Our Children Play, the challenge of youth sports. It's been my privilege to be involved on the educational side with this documentary since its inception. Hey, Dr. Bob, what's your point of view? I want to talk again about the two exercises that I have written about and that I continue to write about that I want included, matter of fact, with anybody who's active, let alone your young youth athletes, no matter what their sport, no matter what their age, no matter what their level. Everybody who listens to us knows I'm going to be mentioning, number one, strengthen your feet and ankles. Learn how to strengthen your feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a tremendous tool to work the foot ankle in all its different angles and directions. Number two is work balance. There's such variety in balance exercises today, whether it's one of my favorite pieces of equipment, the sand dune stepper, which simulates being on the sand where you're working the gripping power of the feet, toe action, the Bosu, another piece of equipment we've had great success with, tilt boards, balance boards. Again, one of my favorite stories. Years ago, athletes would walk into Sports Fitness Institute. There might be four or five mini trampolines set up, a hockey player on one, a tennis player on the other, a baseball player on the other, a volleyball player on the other, all barefoot, standing on different areas of the trampoline while the ball or the puck or the tennis ball was thrown back and forth, the baseball, working balance, walking on the balance beam, working balance. For us seniors, super seniors, even standing on one foot at a time, holding on, paying attention. If you want to learn how to do both, or for your kids, you see your local physical therapist. They'd be glad to show you, or the personal trainer at your gym, show you some rubber band and balanced exercises. I have an email here from Phil, says my son's 12 years old. He plays soccer almost year-round. He's done it for a couple of years. His heels are always hurting him. Phil, heel problems are very, very common in growing kids. There's a huge growth center in the back and bottom of the heel bone. And one of the problems with soccer is many times, even very early, these kids are in cleats. They've got that cluster of cleats right under the heel. So you want to get them out of cleats, put them in a multi-nub shoe. For surfaces, cross trainers are great. When we've had persistent or recurrent heel problems with that growth center, orthotics, proper orthotics are tremendously successful in making a difference. We discussed it today. I'll mention it again. The attention with the type 2 diabetes, juvenile diabetes, and the sports doctor being very involved with recommending, talking about, educating the importance of adding exercise with our kids. It's been such a challenge over the decades, talking about childhood obesity. It's as big a problem today as it ever was. You have, again, the explosion of social media. The kids are sitting around looking at screens. If they're on a sport, lucky, but as they get into junior high school, most kids are not in sports. We need them to be active. I'd love to see walking programs absolutely insisted at all levels of school, elementary, whether they're walking inside, whether they walk outside, part of the curriculum. It's why in 2008 I wrote an article called Let's Get Them Walking, where this was what we wanted to really initiate. There is a epidemic, like Dr. Liazzo said, of diabetes and pre-diabetes in the United States. Obesity is a big, big part of it, and then the high blood pressure and the other kinds of situations. We had a great radio show years ago, the book Fat Boy Chronicles, the movie Fat Boy Chronicles. Michael, as the editor, oh gosh, his last name escapes me, and we talked about the whole book and movie is about the challenges of a young boy growing up being overweight. The bullying, the belittling, the family pressure, all of these situations is such a big deal. So understanding where we are and looking with the tremendous amount of organizations that I deal with through the sports doctor, guests, organizations. Again, a couple of weeks ago we had on Ian Goldberg, formerly the CEO of iSport 360, now moving on with the other organizations and their involvement, again, the National Association of Youth Sports, the situation in England with our friends, spreading the word of how important exercise is as part of the lifestyle of these kids as they're growing up to eventually make a big difference in the scourge of juvenile type 2 diabetes. Thanks to our guests. Again, Mark Astor and Dr. Liazzo, our friends at CBS. See you next week, everybody. Thank you. It's the Sports Doctor.